Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East. The very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
The history of Persia is intertwined with conquest. It began with conquest when Cyrus, king of a small city called Anshan, set out to build the greatest empire the world had ever seen. In a series of stunning campaigns, he achieved just that, becoming one of the greatest conquerors in history and basically started Persian history. After all, you don't get the title the Great for nothing. But he wouldn't be the last great Persian conqueror. Other Persian rulers like Darius the Great, Mithridates I, and Ardashir I would go on to become great conquerors on their own, establishing their own great empires and legacies. If you want to hear their story, and the stories of other great conquerors, many of whom are far less famous despite their great achievements, join me, Ramzi Shalah, on my podcast, The Conquerors Podcast, available on all platforms you listen through.
The Abascoi have been subjects of the Latsoi from ancient times, but they have always had two rulers of their own blood. One of them was established in the western part of their land, the other in the eastern part. These barbarians have worshipped groves and forests down to my time. For with a sort of barbarian simplicity, they supposed the trees were gods. But they have suffered most cruelly at the hands of their rulers on account of their excessive avarice. Both their kings used to take the boys of this nation, whom they noted as having pretty features and fine bodies, and dragging them away from their parents without the least hesitation, they would make them eunuchs and then sell them at high prices to anyone in Roman territory who wished to buy them. They killed the fathers of these boys immediately, so that none of them might attempt at some time to exact vengeance from the king for the wrong done to their boys, and also so they may not have suspect subjects. Thus, the physical beauty of their sons was resulting in their destruction, and the poor wretches were being destroyed by the misfortune of having children who were fatally beautiful. It was because of this most eunuchs amongst the Roman, and especially at the emperor's court, happened to be Abascoi by birth. But during the reign of the present emperor Justinian, everything has changed for the Abascoi and made them more civilized. They have espoused the Christian doctrine, and the Emperor Justinian also sent them one of the eunuchs from the palace, an Abascos by birth named Euphrates, commanding their kings through him in explicit terms to mutilate no male thereafter in this nation by doing violence to nature with the knife. This the Abascoi heard gladly, and taking courage now because of the decree of the Emperor of the Romans, they began to strive with all their might to block this practice, for each of them dreaded having beautiful children. It was at the same time that the Emperor Justinian built a sanctuary of the Virgin in their land, appointed priests for them, and brought it about that they learned thoroughly all the observances of the Christians, and the Abascoi immediately dethroned both their kings and seemed to be living in freedom. Thus, then, did these things take place. Procopius, The Wars of Justinian, Book 8, Chapter 4, Lines 12 through 21.
Thank you to Bree from Pontifax. In this perias operi, upro da upro bindeba. Dharma valiana teli.
Gamarjoba,
and welcome to the history of Sacagawea, Georgia. I'm your host, Roberto, and this is episode 36, Revolts. In this episode, we are going over the Abascoy and Apsilai revolts. Just some notes before I start the episode. First of all, I want to thank everyone who donated to the GoFundMe the last few months. Your support is highly appreciated. Secondly, I want to thank my Patreon members who have been amazing as always with their continued support. This show could not run without you. I'm going to give you all a shout out now. Thanks to Ben Clark from Battle Royale, Audrey Neeson, Mark Lemke, Andrew Schneider, Mitchell Dutt, Eric Nicholson from Ranking 76, Gerald Eliasser, Hallie Koontz from Quest Friends, Quinn Campagna from Noblesse Oblige, Mandy Robertson, who is our amazing artist, and David Montgomery from The Siecle. You are all amazing, and I value each and every one of you. This show is going to go on pause in May, as I'm going to be in Georgia for the majority of the month, so we will be returning on June 14th. I will be releasing a daily audio journal in the lead up to June 14th, and two bonus episodes as promised on the GoFundMe on the Promethean Caves, and also about Hachapuri, because I've been wanting to write about that, and it'll be fun to write about. If you would like to meet me while I am in Georgia, reach out via the show email, Twitter, or Facebook, and we can arrange to go get some tea or see a cool museum, or maybe get some wine or something. Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to see people there. Now let's get into the episode. The Lazai had had enough with Dagestayos. Yes, he had helped them win a few battles, but he had entirely dropped the ball with Petra. This led them to go to Constantinople and complain to the emperor about the general and charged him with treason. The reasoning was that he had allowed the Persians to rebuild their walls due to their attempted talks of peace instead of attacking once the Lazai and Romans had broken through the defenses. Also, he may have been bribed and let slip the chance to take the fort once and for all. With this, the emperor placed Dagestayos under house arrest and placed Bessas as the general of Armenia and sent him down to Lazica to command the entirety of the Roman force there. He would be assisted by Venilos, Odonakos, Babas, and Uligag of the Heruls. Dabides, a Persian general, had invaded Lazica with an army, but his time there amounted to nothing as he spent most of the time with the Abascoi, who had just begun their revolt. He was then able to capture Theodora, the wife of Opsitis, the king of the Abascoi, and aunt to King Gubaz II, and took her off to Persia. She was a Roman woman. While the Lazai War raged on in southern Lazica, up north, in modern-day Abkhazia, tensions were mounting. Emperor Justinian sent Roman soldiers to patrol the area, and in doing so, had them quartered in the homes of the Abascoi. What made the situation worse was the Byzantine desire to annex this part of the territory due to their trade hubs and access to the Black Sea. The Byzantine commander of the area then placed a new set of regulations onto the people. Of course, like any oppressi, the Abascoi hated these regulations. They were severe and made the Abascoi believe that the Byzantines were looking to turn them into slaves of the Roman Empire. To avoid the situation, they did the only thing they could. Revolt. With the mass of the forces otherwise engaged with the Persians along the borders, the Abascoi placed two rulers over their territory. A man named Opsitis in the east, and Skeparnas in the west. Promises of independence rang through Abascia, and the feeling of despair dissipated. The Abascoi wanted to return to what had been before, back before the Byzantines had tricked them into accepting Christianity and deposing their former kings. Control under Constantinople was more oppressive than what they had before, even if it meant possibly needing to give up their children to former practices. To ensure that they could win this battle, the Abascoi decided it was time to ask for aid from the Byzantine rival Persia. Justinian, of course, did not take this lightly. As soon as the news of the revolt spread to the Byzantine capital, he ordered Bessas to send a strong army against the rebels. Bessas then chose two people, Uligag and Ioannis, and appointed them as commanders to go by sea against the Abascoi. Skeparnas, the western leader, had managed to leave Abascia and go ask for Persian aid, leaving Opsitis in the territory to deal with the Romans. Opsitis gathered all of the Abascoi men and made his way to encounter them.
Hello and bonjour. My name is Josh Zucker, and I want to take you on a journey through some of the most exciting events of the late Middle Ages. Valois Burgundy was one of the medieval world's greatest what-ifs. Its dukes inherited, conquered, and politicked their way into forging a state between the German Empire and the Kingdom of France that rivaled them both. From the Hundred Years' War to the Holy Roman Empire, from urban workers to Joan of Arc, and from gallant knights to gunpowder weapons, the Grand Dukes of the West had a part to play in almost all of Western Europe's biggest developments in the 14th and 15th centuries. If you want to learn more about the glamorous rise and dramatic fall of the Dukes of Burgundy, please join me for Grand Dukes of the West, A History of Valois Burgundy.
Hello, everybody. This is Trevor Cully, host of the History of Persia podcast. From about 550 to 330 BC, most of the Middle East was ruled by the Achaemenid Persians. The Achaemenids pioneered the concept of a truly multinational empire, which incorporated people from as far away as India and Greece for over 200 years. The story of Persia discusses the fall of ancient civilizations, the origins of endurance racing, 300 Spartans, the March of the 10,000, and at least one evil priest who replaced and impersonated the king, all before falling with the dramatic close at Alexander the Great's conquests. If that story and the story of the cultures that surround it sound interesting to you, check out The History of Persia at historyofpersiapodcast.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Alpsites led his men to the fortress located along the boundary of Apsilia. This is the place the Abascoi have used to take refuge and repel the inroads of their enemies, due to the difficult position it was located in. It's something similar to Helm's Deep, actually. What made this fortress so defensible is that it is located on the road from Apsilia into Abascia, where a tall mountain from the Caucasus gradually slopes down, similar to a stairway, into the Black Sea. Since there was only one path leading into this fortress and into Abascia, any force would have to go through in a single-file path, on foot, through difficult terrain. On one side of the path is an extremely rough gorge that goes from the fortress to the sea, and the other side contains a set of cliffs overlooking the path. This fort is called Trachea. Ioannis and Ulugag landed their fleet between the borders of Abascia and Apsilia, and made their way on foot towards Trachea. Their ships followed them along the coast. When they came upon the fort, they saw the Abascoi fully armed and standing along the whole of the gorge above the path. This brought intense confusion to the Byzantines, and also fear, since they saw no way to get to the Abascoi without being slaughtered on the way through. But Ioannis, crafty as ever, had a lightbulb moment after assessing the situation. He took half of the army and manned the boats that were sailing along the coast. He then moved them back out to the sea, out of sight of the Abascoi, and sailed them behind Trachea's location and moored the boats. He had circumvented the pass and gotten behind enemy lines. They raised their standards and marched forward. The Abascoi, seeing that they were being attacked on both sides, lost all hope and had a rather disorderly retreat. They were so hopeless that they had all but forgotten the nooks and crannies of their own land and could not easily escape from Trachea. The Romans caught up with the Abascoi and began to kill them as they fled. The Abascoi retreated back into the fortress. However, this proved fruitless as the gates had remained open to bring in the remaining Abascoi who had lingered in their escape. The Byzantines charged into the fortress, since the gatekeepers could not figure out who was friend or foe due to the mass confusion. The Abascoi felt relieved at being back in the fortress, until they saw the Roman standards inside of them. So began the slaughter. The Abascoi, in fear, started to climb up on the buildings in order to get away from the Romans. They began shooting at the Roman heads, since it was a rather desperate situation for them, since their women and children would be attacked by the Romans in revenge. The Romans took note of the situation and noticed the wooden homes that the Abascoi were shooting from. A smirk appeared on Ioannis' face and a barrage of flaming arrows flew into the air. The Abascoi raised their shields to protect themselves, but none of the arrows hit them. Then, the smoke and heat rose and all the homes were set aflame. The Romans watched as the Abascoi were burnt alive with no escape as the fire had covered them entirely. The Romans were completely victorious. Alpsites, the eastern king, managed to escape the flames and retreated to the Caucasus Mountains. However, all that remained of the rebels were ashes or charred flesh. The Romans then moved to capture the women and children for their personal use, raised the fortress to the ground, and made the land desolate. Meanwhile, down in Apsilia, Notable Lazai nobleman Terdetes, a magister in the region, occupied the fortress of Zibile. He had fallen out with King Gubaz II over some political concerns that we were not told about, and he wanted to cause the king some pain. He sent messages to the Persians, promising the fortress of Zibile with his support if they gave him an army to do so. The Persians agreed. Terdetes went with his Lazai forces and entered the fort, since he was a commander of the Lazai army, and his countrymen were none the wiser. Once the Persian army arrived, Terdetes ordered the gates opened and invited them into Zibile. This conquest of Zibile led the Persians to believe that they were now in control of Lazica and of Apsilia. The Romans and Lazai were unable to besiege the fort due to being preoccupied elsewhere in their fights with the Persians. Then, a crisis struck inside of Zibile. The Persian commander gazed upon the wife of a garrison commander inside the fort and fell passionately in love with her. He made several passes at the woman and each time was shot down. Then, seeing he had made no progress with her, he found her and forced himself onto her. The husband of the woman, once she told him what had happened, gathered his men that night and killed the Persian commander and all of the Persian soldiers who had entered the fortress with him. The commander took charge of the fortress and sent a message to the Romans that the Apsiloi would not work with the Persians due to their oppression. King Gubaz sent Ioannis and a Roman army to talk with the commander, and everything concluded peacefully, with the Apsiloi working with the Lazai once more. To connect with us, feel free to find us on social media under @HistoryGeorgia or on Facebook at The History of Sacramento, Georgia. Our intro music is Bindi Speria Sopeli by Zedasha. They will be touring the US in September 2024, so keep a lookout for them. The best way to help us is via review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast host, as it goes a long way with getting the word out about the show and helping us reach new people to learn about Georgia. To also help this podcast continue, please feel free to subscribe to our Patreon or donate via Ko-fi or PayPal. The links are in the episode description. If you would prefer donating something a bit more tangible, we also have an Amazon wish list for you to peruse. Madalabat al Nakvamdis, and thank you for listening to The History of Sacramento, Georgia. See you next time.
Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East, the very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
The history of Persia is intertwined with conquest. It began with conquest when Cyrus, king of a small city called Anshan, set out to build the greatest empire the world had ever seen. In a series of stunning campaigns, he achieved just that, becoming one of the greatest conquerors in history, and basically started Persian history. After all, you don't get the title the Great for nothing. But he wouldn't be the last great Persian conqueror. Other Persian rulers like Darius the Great, Mithridates I, and Ardashir I would go on to become great conquerors on their own, establishing their own great empires and legacies. If you want to hear their story, and the stories of other great conquerors, many of whom are far less famous despite their great achievements, join me, Ramzi Shalah, on my podcast, The Conquerors Podcast, available on all platforms you listen through.